It's season 11, episode 13, entitled Jack's Attack.
Lucky 13, I say.
Lucky 13. Snake guys plus plus 11.
That's a great way to...
You like that?
Yeah, very direct.
I'm no gambling woman, but I am. Yeah, Jax is in this. It is. You know what? The episode title is not wrong. Jax does attack.
Yeah.
But before we get into that, I feel compelled to talk about Joe's Instagram live. I feel a deep calling to talk you through what has transpired. If you didn't see it already, did you see it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm on the Vanderpump Reddit.
Yeah, yeah. You find it and send it to me, and then I forget you did that. And then I'm like, did you see this? And you're like, yeah, bitch. Yeah, I sent it to you. Joe had this unhinged Instagram live. I don't know how you would describe it. It's her, and she's wearing these like long beaded earrings, which feel very appropriative, and this like knit top, and she's got this like a weird low energy hype woman to the side of her who's just like, yeah. Obviously. Yeah. That's kind of how she sounds. I don't know. But she, okay, so here's the points that she makes in this Instagram live, which she, again, I don't know why, for whom this is. People are just like,
us?
Okay. Yeah, that's true. For us to eagerly devour. But besides maniacs like us, is she making money off of it? Can you make money off of Instagram lives?
Yeah, you can get gifts, I think. Okay. I think so.
Maybe she got some trucker hats. She talks about Schwartz having a great working dick, and I call bullshit on that. She says that Katie apologized to her, and she has nothing against Katie. No beef with Katie. That's nice. Her fashion is not good. This is a note that I had. Fashion not good.
Her hair looked better.
Better, yeah. And she knows. She's beautiful. She's a very pretty woman. Like, I... No fault of that. I just, it takes me right back to The Hills, 2007. And again, I'm also from Milwaukee, where she is from. It's that fashion. It really is very like what I grew up around, which is like juicy couture. And again, that's very like dated too, but like very like proto hippie, but also all from Forever 21, you know? Like, so it just, again, I think she's beautiful, and I don't fault her for many things, but I'm just like, you're in this group of people and they have a culture of a certain thing, of dressing a certain way, and you're feel like you're being bullied, but you also are just like not, you're filming a TV show with these people and you're dressing in like cargo pants and like a surf shirt. Like that you're gonna, I don't know. I think you're not setting yourself up for success, I guess is what I'll say.
Yeah.
She thinks that Schwartz is her other half, that she says in due time, but then she pedals it back and she's like, I don't know, maybe not. She's met Sophia, Schwartz's girlfriend, that he's like fully saying I love you to, and that she's a fan of the show. And she, all she cares about is Schwartz's happiness. And her hype man's like, that's all you care about, Schwartz's happiness. I don't know if that's the thing, but she's like, you know, we're soulmates, but we're not. But like, you know, do his thing. All like bless and love and light. It's just very, and it's the energy that I get. I'm just like, get her back on the show. Can we say this on the show? Can we just have them talk this out on the show? Bring the hype man. I don't care.
I wonder if it's a thing where it's they do want her, they don't want her, or if there's things going on behind the scenes because – but I guess like where do you – after she kind of left that last episode, like where does she go from there?
Yeah.
She'd have to like be friends with somebody else on the show to stay around that universe, right?
Well, she had a hot dog with Lala.
Yeah.
I mean, she could befriend Kristen again. Kristen, but – she said she wouldn't. Actually, she said that on the live, that she would never be friends with Kristen again for what she did. I need to hear what she did, but will we? I don't know. Right. Maybe on the Valley. Anyway, let's get into the episode. Also, quick thanks to everyone who texted me about listening to this. Very, very fun.
Yeah, a lot of great feedback. Thank you. Anyone's rated and reviewed and subscribed, it really, it helps. You know what I mean? It helps. If you do that, it helps.
Yeah.
In whatever way you do.
I know. And I love getting a text. Marina, Haley, Ariel, like, thank you so much for texting. They sent me screen grabs of like, and it's like so very fun to hear because I feel like I'm just shouting into the, I'm literally inches from this mic in a sweatshirt, and who knows who hears except for Jason every day of his life.
I mean, you just were ranting about just fashion and we're like dressed in like, I am wearing aloe pants and I did get another pair of aloe pants from my plug. yeah.
Oh, your plug.
I finally realized what that word means. Now I'm using it a lot. My okay. plug. And I got. I talked about aloe hats and Tom Sandoval, and mm-hmm. from my inside source, who I will not reveal, about what the deal is with the hats. And real quick,
is there a deal?
This person said that the hats are very, very popular. They've become kind of like memed out, you know, a little bit. They become like a little bit of like in that Von Dutch way. You know what I mean? But it's the clothes are ridiculously priced. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like ridiculous. I mean, it's ridiculous. But the hats are something that are less expensive that you can wear and be like, look at me.
Yeah.
I guess it's like, oh, I can't afford this Gucci bag, but look at my Gucci keychain.
Yeah. You know,
it's a little bit. That's what I gleaned from that. Mm. But the hats are very – black or white are very, very popular. I don't know what Clearly. The deal is with Tom wearing it, if he's got a thing with them or not. I don't know. But yeah. I just wanted some aloe hat insight.
Mm-hmm. Your boots to the ground. You're doing the Lord's work.
Yeah.
Thank you
so
for
I
that.
Am wearing aloe pants right now. And that
just
is
to conclude,
yeah.
I am also in aloe pants.
Yes,
okay.
person.
That's great to hear. And thanks, plug.
yeah.
Okay, so we start this episode out, episode 13. We're going to Soft Spirits, a non-liquor liquor store on Sunset. Actually, I was there last week. It's very cool.
What is it? What is it? Is West? I mean, I assume it's on the Strip. Is it on the Strip? Or
yeah, I mean, it's in Silver Lake.
Oh,
yeah,
oh,
it's really close here. It's like down the street. It's a mile from where we're recording this right now.
What is it called?
Soft Spirits. Oh. It's cool. I mean, again, my boyfriend does not drink, so... and he has to watch me drink a lot. Yeah. So I, every once in a while, throw him a bone and like get him
a little
bottle of sweet, like fizzy, whatever. And
I love
like,
it. I'm not a big drink person.
Yeah,
so
yeah you're
I
not
like,
either.
That's why I was excited. I was like,
it's good. Actually, I'll make a recommendation. There's a peach, kind of a sparkling peach thing. Ooh. It's very, very good. Very sweet, if you're into like a sweet, whatever. Anyway, Soft Spirits, they go there. Easton is like... Sideshow bobbing. I don't know what is. I was like, I know you live in like Lala's apartment complex, but sure. Meanwhile, Tom and Ariana's, we go there. Ariana's talking to Dan and Sandoval's leaving. We got it. They're not friends. We get it. In Burbank, James is in the studio making something. Allie's worried about the cats, but Jax arrives and fuck Allie because it's Jax time. So you can go do your little astrology reads. Yeah. Jax has got to talk.
Go play in traffic.
Man to man.
Yeah.
exactly. He looks so old. I was just like, whoa. Jax is it time for another reconstructive nose job? Maybe. Because we are beating a dead horse about this house being below the Burbank airport. They talk about that for far too long. And this is a good line. Again, I love Al. I think we're huge fans of Allie. Allie was like, well, I grew up by an airport, so I'm used to it.
Yeah.
And I was like, what airport? We need a young Sheldon with Allie. Where it's like single, like only child, loved her parents, loved her upbringing under an airport. You know, like where is she from? Did she mention
that?
She's
from Ohio, I think.
Oh, yeah, that's right. She's
we talked about that when we
hung out with her.
Yeah,
you're right. God, I need more information. James shares what he's working on, which seems like a generic like drum track. It's like
bass and drum, yeah.
It's like cool, great. Well done. He says that him and Jax have come a long way. So long, so far, in fact that they're hosting a brunch at Sir together.
Yeah, I feel like things needed to spiral in a way for them to become friends. Like James had to become a different person. Jax a little bit, but he had to also stay the same for that to work.
Yeah. Excuse me. so that's the thing that we – does it pay off later? Not really, but we're going to try. Allie goes to a read and Jax talks about Katie being at the brunch and how basically she's been telling people that he's been stepping out on Britney. And it's like, yeah, no shit. Yes, you're Jax Taylor. You're, of course – it's – I'm impressed you guys have been married this long.
But honestly. She's not like a whistleblower. She's just amplifying the message that's already out there.
Which is what she said. She's like, yeah, have you heard of the internet?
Well in the same way, and if we, you know, when Jax was talking to Tom Sandoval and he's like, hey, Jax, you've been talking about me. And he's like, everybody's talking about you.
Yeah.
How is this any different?
Yeah.
You're literally... all in the same. It's like everyone's like got their guns pointed at each other. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
everyone's
it's
in
true.
The same
it's
situation.
True. It really is. Anyway, he's pissed about it because he's dumb. And again, say what you want to say about Katie, about her being fucking boring or sour or lame or low energy, or like bad storytelling, whatever. Justifiable, sure. But she's not wrong a lot,
yeah,
I will say. So I think even, sorry, this coming from Katie makes me feel like it's got like a little bit more of like a seal of like truth to it. So
yeah, I think if she really didn't, like if she was just like, this sounds really far-fetched, I'm probably not going to amplify this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah, you know, yeah,
come on.
It's like, come on, you're a fucking cheating. You're disgusting. You're a disgusting pig. In Katie's words.
We need to hear his side of it, but yeah, sure.
Mine. Yeah, let's bring on. Jax, come on. We'll talk to you. Jax and James are pretending to play basketball for a lot of this scene, too, which...
Sometimes I wonder how many, because you know, how many free throws they do before it's like, okay, we can use that one.
Yeah, exactly. It's just... Jax goes on to say he doesn't want to kiss Lisa's ass because she owns a couple of restaurants in West Hollywood. And it's like, you've been on Bravo for a minute again, dude.
Yeah. But also, it's like, it's not just that. She's the executive producer of this whole thing and everything. She's attached to all those things.
So
it's
like,
the restaurants are just like, I think the smaller part.
He can't help himself. Yeah. Though. And of course, we all know that she's the executive, which we'll talk about in a later scene where she's like, Jax is having a brunch and sir? It's like,
come on.
Bitch, of course, you orchestrated this. Yeah. Number one on the call sheet.
Yeah.
You know, like, fuck off. But again, Jax, I'm just like, give yourself at least a reunion to, like, be, like, a flagrantly disrespectful cast member. Like, I love it. And, like, I love you seeing you're pushing your boundaries.
Well, also, there's a thing between, like, oh, I have to kiss Lisa's ass. You could be like, I have to be cordial. How about we start there? Why does it have to go with you have to be on your hands and knees? He's like, wait a minute. I just have to be, like, a decent person?
Yeah. He's like, huh? Me? No. I love you, or I hate you.
Yeah, exactly. Very true. Like, but that's what we want, though.
Yeah, exactly. And he knows.
Can't,
again,
he knows. It can't really.
I'm so happy he's back.
Yeah, me too.
All this to say, I'm so happy he's back.
Yeah, that's the thing. Is like, I don't know. There's an honesty. There's a crappy honesty that is refreshing.
I know. I love it. He's a fucking narcissist. He'll do whatever it takes.
And it's consistent.
And it's great. It's really fun to watch, and it's fun to see him blow everything up in his life. Speaking of blowing things up in their lives, Brittany comes to Sheena's. They really take a lot of time establishing. It's like, we got pregnant the same fucking time, 2 weeks apart. It's like very like, okay, like you can just be friends. Like you were literally on a show together for many seasons. It's okay. Like you don't have to be like, okay.
If it was a year and a month apart, no way.
No way.
No way. What are we going to talk about?
Now. Yeah. So Sheena says, we can both talk about our husbands and the shit they put us through at home. But it's like, that's the understatement of the fucking century. Brittany asks Sheena if she's going to have another kid. And Sheena says very casually, I don't think so. She says, sorry, I'm trying to gather my Sheena impression, which isn't as good as my other bad impressions. I don't think so. I don't think I'm going to have another child because I don't want a chance dying. She's like, I don't want a chance dying. She's like casually like brushing her daughter's hair. And then Brittany, and she said, well, Jax and I are.
I don't like you. I think she really leans into that accent for some reason. Like she really, it gets like stronger. And it's like, you're not around. I understand if I go back, or maybe you go to where you're from.
Fit.
If I talk to my family for M, like I have a very, like a very lazy way of speaking. And I try to. And that happens, but you're not around anyone from Kentucky.
No, you're ever. Just leaning into it's like you're almost like going on YouTube and being like, let me refresh my Kentucky just for my TV persona.
I wonder what she talked when the cameras are off. Yeah. I wonder if it's
she's just
like,
hey. Hi, yeah. I'm Brittany.
Yeah.
I hope so. Anyway, so Brittany says that Jax and her are trying to have a baby, which is a joke. I bet Jax does not think that.
Yeah.
I'm almost positive Jax is like, no.
Trying not to.
Yeah, exactly. Actively. Not telling her, but actively trying not to. All of this, though, is completely overshadowed by Sheena offhandedly putting mascara on her child's lashes, which we have on the Instagram. I mean, I was like, oh my God. Like, I was just like, oh, bit of darkness. Oh, shit. Although Summer Moon is very cute, so do we let abuse slide? I don't know. Sorry. It's not abusive, but
it's a little weird.
It's I'm flagging it.
Yeah.
Sheena talks about how she's been fighting with Brock, so she got out of the house with another Australian. So She gets out of the house. He gets out of the house. He needs more friends. He does. And he goes and hangs out with a boring Australian man. He needs someone in the house so I can step away and fill my cup. That's him.
And the dude, it's like, I know you want to show off like your old faded tattoo on your chest that you know is like looks really old, like you got a long time ago, but you want to like, you still have to like, well, it's there. Oh, I got to show it.
So bad. The storyline is very stupid and nobody cares that Sheena makes money and Brock doesn't. I don't think anyone cares. Brock doesn't care. Sheena doesn't care. He loves it, I will say. I'm sure he fucking, I'm sorry, he doesn't have to work. He doesn't have to do his stupid gym app or gyms. He can just, Sheena can just make the money. It's like,
I think he does probably want to get paid for being him.
Yeah. Which is, you know, is happening.
Which is. But I think he wants, he's putting that kind of out there and, but making it seem kind of like, well, go work at like Home Depot then. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you really, I mean, you can get a job. I mean,
yeah, no, it's,
you can get a job wherever.
This is bullshit. I hate that it's like such a manufactured story where it's like, the man, like, why does the man always have the ego? It's like, no, none of your egos are anything about this kind of conflict. You guys are fine. You know, and bravo, fuck you. Stop wasting my screen time with like this stuff where it's like, oh, it's a kind of a meditation on like gender dynamics in the workplace and household. Like, no. Brittany, again, they're talking about the same thing. Boring. Sheena does say that she's off Zoloft because she's tired, which I thought was interesting. I was like, you just stopped taking Zoloft like abruptly?
For a month?
It's
like a pretty short stint to like have it. I mean, I'm not, you know, whatever, my limited. It has to, there's, you know, acne. Yeah. And it's not, and not everything's for everybody and you could switch, but it just seems like a thing where it's like you're prescribed and you're just like, it makes everything make, like there's a side effect. Everything makes everything.
Yeah. Also, I have a long experience with antidepressants and in my experience with Zoloft, it was it's like a stimulant more than it's a, makes you tired. I don't know. It's just.
Do you think it's possible that, and this is, you know, maybe insensitive of me to say, is that there's like, that's just fodder. It's just weaponizing your mental health to be like, I was on Zoloft for a month. It was like, were you like, please prescribe me Zoloft so I can say that I was on Zoloft for a month so I can bring it up?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I was going to say she probably stopped taking it because it also causes weight gain, which is something that I was like.
I took, there was something I took that definitely caused, it was one of those that I took for my, and it does, you gain a considerable amount of weight on it.
I'm all speculative. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. I just think it's very weird, especially, with a drug acclimation time is usually many months. Well, 3 months, I think they say.
One time I was prescribed having a camera in your face as a job for millions of people to look at.
Oh.
Like micro, like analyzing your life like we're doing right now. They prescribed that a couple of times.
Oh, wow.
They said that was great for your mental
health.
And
you're like, I'll never get off of that drug. She says she's got OCD and paranoia. She's suspicious about Brock and Lala because rumors have been planted about them. And this is a thing where it's like, and it's like, and she, or him fucking a nanny. She's like, I have all these fears. And she said that it was like kind of from Sandoval. And again, the rumors that he started, she's kind of rooting it in Sandoval, which is true. I would imagine if you are paranoid with OCD and you hear rumors all the time, again, part of your job as being like a TV personality is probably to hear a lot of stuff like this. But again, paranoia, yes. Also not helpful that your husband has a secret family back in Australia. That's probably not good for your paranoia either, I would say. I don't know. I mean, maybe that's something to also look into, why that's fueling your own stress. I don't know. Then Katie, despite saying she didn't want to hang out with Schwartz, meets up with him at Mel's Diner. Mm-hmm. Which,
that's Sherman Oaks one, right? I was trying to, I don't know. Like looking at it from the inside, it could be either.
I thought it was the Hollywood one too, but I've never been either of them in a,
because I feel like
time.
It could be either, because they're always on like the West. You know, they're always there, but they all live in the Valley, so I don't know.
Could be. Yeah. It was such a tight shot on their tiny little booth together that I was like, I don't know where this is, but I'm also like, when was the last time anyone has gone to Mel's Diner? It's a very tour. I would say it's very like tourist, like. Memorabilia, nostalgia, like mid-century Hollywood stuff. Yeah. And I was like, interesting that they're filming here.
I don't know which ones are still open. There's the one in Hollywood proper. Mm-hmm. And then there's on the Strip, and then there's Sherman Oaks. I don't know which ones are still open.
I don't know either. I mean,
maybe we should go to all three just to.
We should probably do some scouting.
Yeah, just scout, just to get to the bottom of this. I know people care.
Oh, absolutely. They more inexplicably to why that they're there or which one is that they both get vegetarian options. One gets like a veggie sandwich and one gets a veggie omelet and then a milkshake.
I honestly, if I was sitting there eating, I'd be like, what do you – as a former vegetarian – and vegetarian stuff is fine, but it's like not at meals.
No. Also,
not
like,
when you're not vegetarian.
Also, don't get a vegetable. Get an egg.
Yeah.
Get some like an egg.
But I also see you eat like steak frites at Sir. So yeah. I don't know what the deal is.
Truly, truly. Katie doesn't like Schwartz's hair, and then he tells her that he's going to get a tattoo. So that's him. That's what he's doing right now.
It's weird that I see when I see dudes having a midlife crisis getting a lot of tattoos. I think that's very, very strange, and I'm very, very judgmental of it. Not looking in the mirror.
Not at all. Never look in the mirror. Not relatable whatsoever. No. He says that Joe and Lena gave him blonde, and Katie was like, is that a hard launch? And they show the screenshot of him at like Hair Boss or whatever it's called, Hair Boss. He says, no. But then Katie quoted, oh boy, underneath, where it's like, Katie, just fucking relax. Schwartz says he wants to date and doesn't want a girlfriend, so he's not dating. He's not dating Joe, which is a lie. He was literally in a relationship with Joe. He was saying, I love you. They hung out 5 to 6 times a week.
What is that? That's casual.
Yeah, totally. But Katie calls him out. She's like, you're elusive about it. True. And good on Katie for being like, no, I know your bullshit behavior. I was around it for 13
Why
years.
Why even bother lying to her?
I know.
Who's that for?
Him.
Yeah, I guess.
Denial. Katie is actually casually dating and says that she's getting to know people. Schwartz asks about her date with Tori. And Katie says, I think she likes me more than she likes you. And this is so weird. This is such a bad... It's like, you're not even fucking, though, too. You know, like,
yeah.
It's such a bad storyline. And basically, Schwartz's talking head says, Katie dating a girl that I'm hanging out with is kind of her way of saying I miss hanging out. It's kind of our post-divorce language. And I was like, you mean you want to fuck each other through this woman, kind of. Like, it just feels like way too, like, cucky, like... Fucking, I don't know. Like,
cucky, fucky.
Cucky, fucky. There's also no 24-year-olds with pink streaks in their hair in L.A., so you can't find anyone else.
No.
So that's tough. I hate the storyline, too. I'm sorry. It's so annoying to
me. Text part I thought was funny.
Oh, the text where she's like, okay. Yeah, she was like, you want to, well, before that, she says, you wanted a hair glow up because I had a hair glow up. And he's like, what? He literally has no idea that Katie has the best hair of her life. It was totally off his radar that she even changed her hair.
Yeah.
But yeah, then they talk about the text and they text each other. They text her, Tori,
to see who would which I thought was like a funny little.
They want to fuck each other through this woman. Yeah. Like it's just like so fucking weird, and they're so like casual with each other too. It's like, all right. Anyway, she texts Schwartz back and not Katie, so he likes that, and Katie gets defensive about it. Sheena and Brock go on a date. It's their anniversary. Brock says, I got a new shirt today.
Honestly, when they're both on the screen, it's gonna be a lot of work is gonna be happening, but it's time to check out a little bit, a tiny bit.
Yeah, Sheena goes on to say she brought some toys to the hotel room.
Now, okay, I'm wrong. This part had me think. Okay,
but he didn't shut it. He was like, "Oh boy," he was like very like.
So what? And I'm asking the listener. Mm-hmm. I would say listeners, but I'm too humble. I'm asking the listener, which might be just me editing
the royal
this.
Listener.
Yeah, just me editing this to myself. What is in that? I know it's like a to-go bag.
Mm-hmm.
What's in that bag? I think I know what's in it.
What?
What do I think the toys are?
Yeah.
I think the toys are for her to him.
Oh. Oh, like a pegging.
Exactly.
Strap like on.
Exactly. Pegging is the word.
You wanted me to say it.
Yeah, I wanted you to be complicit. And nothing – that's great. I have friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I know people. I know a lot of people. I've been around the block a lot of times.
Okay.
I'm a huge square. Mm-hmm. But she also was talked about his juicy butt.
Yeah. She wanted to peg that juicy butt.
I mean, I think that's great. Whatever. Mm-hmm. Do your thing. But when you have to bring up, it's like, how many are in? Like, what's in that? bag. I want to see that bag. Oh, that's the bag.
That's the bag. Said hello. We'll never know what's in that bag, but I think what we do know is that there's probably even more kind of unholy is a gin and juice presentation that comes to their table. It's a tableside gin and juice presentation.
I didn't understand the theme of the place.
I don't know, because I thought for a second they were at like Grandmaster Records and it's some kind of like whatever, but they're not there. They're somewhere else.
Yeah.
I was corrected when I brought that up sternly.
Actually, Michelle thought it was Grandmaster Records too, I think.
Yeah, because that's something corny they would do.
Yeah.
You know, Grandmaster Records is a place that's in Hollywood, but they're not. They've already showed the sign. I just didn't write it down. Sheena talks about how this marriage in her talking head that she got a prenup, which I thought was very smart. Great. Excellent. But basically, they just talk through this dumb fucking storyline and how, you know, he feels emasculated, whatever. But then Sheena goes, do you ever think this is your second chance to be a dad?
I feel like that's so...
It's really problematic. First of all, you mean third chance, because you have two kids back in Australia. Another thing is, you're literally a dad again. Yeah. This is not a chance. This is not an opportunity. You're living it minute to minute. You're dadding right now.
Yeah.
So like, you just are it. So be it. This is not like an invitation to not be an asshole.
Things about opportunities. Like, they're not like opportunities. Yeah, you already did it.
You're living it right now. Yeah. So like, don't fuck it up. You will, but don't fuck it up. Sheena calls Brock one of the most tenacious people she's ever known. I was
like, is that good or?
I was like, yeah, I guess that's tenacity, I guess, if you weaseled your way on a show and sold some gyms and came to the States and abandoned your family. Okay, I'll call it. Sure, it's tenacity.
But I don't mind him on the show as much as I didn't think I would enjoy him.
Yeah.
He's worked its way in there in like a way that's kind of like, oh, you say things that make sense. Some things are boring, but...
I mean, I think for me, most things are boring and lame, but when he goes... I like when he is kind of calling Sandoval... I like when he's like calling people out. I'm good with that part, and I would like more of that, please, and less of like feeling emasculated because you don't have to work. Cool. You know, like, I don't know. It's like, geez, your life sucks.
I'll give it a shot.
You will. You're brave enough to do that. They decide to go to couples therapy, which is healthy, and pretend to eat their anniversary cake. Finally, the scene has concluded. We get to Schwartz. His fucking red Ray-Bans and his blonde hair, his bowling shirt, blowing in the wind. And he grabs Tom. He says, the show pony is here. Sandoval looks even worse when he gets into the car. He is like a... like an off-brand 80s Mall Madness portrait. They're both
kind of
like
a Grand Theft Auto character.
It's like,
did he rent that car? Does he own it? Because that's kind of like a vintage.
I like the car. I thought it was
cool. Is, but it's like a very kind of like almost at this point like a vintagey type specific thing. But they kind of talked about it as if it was a midlife crisis buy. But I don't know. Is that your major form of transportation now? Or I feel like you almost rented it for this scene.
Yeah, I mean, which. Of course they would. Yes. To go to a... They're like, let's rent a car to drive to a tattoo shop. You know, it's like...
Which is another... I was like, is this a tattoo?
No, it was like a warehouse. It was like a set.
That's what I'm wondering. But it had a thing. I was like, was it a school? Like, is it a school? It was just the weirdest... Not that every tattoo shop has to have, like, sailors on the wall.
Yeah. You know? But that's the thing. For me, tattoo shops are very well lit because you have to see what you're doing. There's, like, art everywhere. This tattoo shop was like a Jiffy Lube.
Yeah. That was, like, emptied out. Or like, they do like look at cadavers like in a medical like show.
These fucking and these two fucking 40-year-old like Goodwill looking fucking Barbie Ken knockoff bullshit aging men waltz into this fake tattoo shop with their rental car, their stupid hair, and just like go and Schwartz is like, I'm a tattoo guy. And Sandoval was like, I love getting tattooed. I was like, what? Why are we here? Like, I don't even care about your fucking Gordo and Butters tattoo. Like, you're not even... Okay,
great. It's a good tattoo. I mean, it turned out to be
it's
good.
Fine.
I thought maybe
bored.
It was a temporary tattoo, but also I wouldn't want...
If he got a temporary tattoo...
Yeah, like one of those kind of like ones that fade. I don't know what
a henna tattoo. I would have fucking lost my mind.
But also, I wouldn't want a human being falling down in the ground while someone's tattooing me. Oh, like, I don't God. Want things
we haven't even
to
got
shake.
There. We have to talk about Kyle Chan's whiskey.
Oh, we're not there. Oh, God. Okay.
But that, I mean, the fall is like, I literally have in caps later in my notes. Then Sandoval falls on the floor somehow.
Yeah. I don't know how that even happened.
I don't know. The floor is slippery and the chair has wheels. But really, the reason for this visit is to plant the information that Kyle Chan, you know him because he's the jeweler that Sheena used as her music video location last episode and is around and is pretty much Tom Sandoval's best friend besides Schwartz. He's a dude.
And Craig.
And Craig, his assistant, that he, we don't know his sexual orientation. We don't know his origin story. He's Kyle Chan. Kyle Chan's here. And guess what? Kyle Chan has a whiskey. And guess what else? Kyle Chan is launching his whiskey in San Francisco later that week. How about that?
I mean, I can't believe it's just not Milan, Paris. You know what I mean? Like,
you know, the whiskey capital of the world, San Francisco, the Alameda. He's like, oh, it's on an island. It's going to be so sick. I was like, the Alameda? Yeah. You mean like the freeway, like what gets you to Oakland? What are we doing? What is happening? This is madness. Why is Kyle I just can't, my brain can't wrap, it's, I can't wrap my head around Kyle Chan as a character in this universe. Whatever. Sandoval brings up the two of them living together again, and Schwartz is like, oh, Schwartz brings up actually something interesting where he's like, Schwartz and Sandy still haunts me. I'm still traumatized from that. Why would
what
I
is
it? Get?
What is going on? I mean, we were there. Yeah. I mean, we should look. I was like, is that done? Or
I don't know. We should check in on it. I mean, they're still doing viewing party. We really should go to a viewing party and like check what that scene's like.
Now, should we eat food and drink just for research?
Yeah. I mean, just for research.
Yeah, okay. I don't want to.
Listen, time is money.
Yeah.
And my time is cheap. But I think we got to go because I don't know what's happening for this restaurant. And I think Schwartz brings up a legitimate concern that he kind of negs himself and he says, deal. He's like, okay, I'll do it. He's like, legitimate concern. But yeah, okay, I'll move in with you for $6,000 a month or like whatever they're doing. I don't know what the deal is. It was very traumatizing to hear that number last episode, but I also appreciate it. Sandoval says, I already have a soda gun and beer taps. And Schwartz is like, oh, you have the soda gun? I'm just like, this house is going to smell like shit. It's so depressing. It's so fucking dark. And then Sandoval falls on the floor. It's like, God, holy shit. Wellness check on this fake tattoo parlor and everyone inside. Fuck. Mercifully, we get taken to a different scene now where James and Allie are at the face gym.
I mean, I was kind of. I want to go to the face gym.
I want to do it.
Hey, face gym, I know you're listening. Let us go.
Please.
We need
please.
It.
Please. I liked it. I want to do it. It looked fun and good and healthy. But it's a, you know, a gimmicky facial place right. with like a cool.
Probably lasts for like a day because once your lymph nodes are get all yeah. gunked up again,
exactly.
like you're back to square
one. You're back to your flabby ass, not pre-gym skin. But they have fun. James says he's not really about plastic surgery, though he's probably down for plastic surgery maybe at some point.
Listen, everyone's had a little something. Some.
Yeah,
come
absolutely.
On.
And for him, I'm just like, your injectables because you got thickened up. You got a little like steroid.
Yeah,
action
yeah.
Based on your reactability and like you, yeah, he's like kind of filled out a little bit. And I'm like, that's not your genetic makeup, sir. I know that. From this scene, we learn Allie's best friend is getting married, but James doesn't want to go and leave Hippie alone. Usually his brother watches Hippie, but not this time. This is unreasonable. And Allie is being very, like, cool about it, even though it's like, sorry.
That's Allie.
That's Allie.
No, she just said, I'm not being cool about it.
I'm not being cool about it. I'm offended. Allie's like, you have to make compromises somewhere. And we're like, yeah, it's James being unreasonable. But this storyline is also pretty boring. At Tom and Ariana's, Ariana talks to Dan on the treadmill, her boyfriend. We learn he's coming to San Francisco. Craig comes in being very nice to Ariana, and she's very nice back to him.
Yeah. Craig's interesting.
Craig is Craig.
If somebody's like somebody on this show is AI, it's Craig.
Yeah, absolutely.
He looks very cool though.
Yeah.
Imagine getting that little tattoo and then Craig. Craig's like, I am not AI. I am human, man. I am human glasses, tattoo man, overalls man.
Yes. Oh,
but he looks cool. Like, he looks like a cool.
He looks like a guy who works at a bar and suddenly is an assistant in a house at 10 a.m.
But really a friend, just a
paid
entourage.
Friend. Like a paid friend.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm desperate to know the rates. We'll go back and ask Anne. But Dan is like, Ariane's boyfriend's like, you gotta get out of there. And it's like, yeah, everyone thinks that. But everyone gathers at Sir for this very buzzed about brunch. Schwartz, meekly in the scene, he's like coming by to get to his seat. He says hi to Ariana. He's like, hi, Ariana. And she like mouths, she's like, hi. I don't know. It was an interaction where I was just like, oh yeah, this is how you usually are. And he's trying to like make it camera-y and she's like, mm-mm-mm-mm-mm. So Lisa and Guillermo and James are sitting at a different table in Sir. And Lisa's like, why do we have a brunch with Jax Taylor? It's like, because you're the EP. How did this slip through? Because you're, it didn't. You're
it
the
started
EP.
With you.
It yeah,
started
it started with
it.
You.
It
this is your idea.
You. Yeah.
We're not idiots. And I hate the storyline too. Is there a storyline I do like in this episode? Probably not.
I mean the pegging.
The pegging. Yeah. Well, that's our
nope,
well,
that's the bag
that's
again.
Jax enters and strange dialogue ensues because Lisa's mad that he was bad-mouthing her. Jax is defensive. Jax is like, can I sit down? And Lisa's like, if you have to. And he says, I have to, if you don't mind. And she says, I kind of do. It's like, Farrah's just like, sit down.
Yeah,
your
just
scene.
Sit down. Like, you know where
Jesus
this is going.
Christ.
You walked in there. Just do the thing.
Do your thing that you're supposed to do. And Lisa confronts him. She does her thing. She calls him superfluous. She said he called her superfluous.
Yeah.
He says, I didn't because I don't know what that word means. Believe that, actually.
Yeah,
I believe that.
But it wasn't like a weird word to use.
No.
Probably
no.
Contextually. So. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think he's just backtracking, obviously.
Yeah, he probably said that she's unnecessary. She did. You know, he said she was unnecessary.
And that's not even, like, it's not like she's not, she's obviously necessary. But, like, you know, when she's on the show, it's just to make an appearance. Mm-hmm. And so he's not even, like, wrong in a way. It's just the way that it's phrased. It's just, like, she's almost beyond it.
Yeah.
It's her essence. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And you can't, she's the executive producer of the show. I like it, but I'm also like, Jax, just get through your season of the Valley. Just get through it. Just one season.
Are you watching it?
Yeah, of course I am. Yeah. Are you?
No, I only watched the first
episode. Oh, I love it. I love it more than Vanderpump. I mean, I'm always down to talk about it. I know we covered the first episode, but I kind of ran out of steam. But who knows?
Hey, listen, you do what you want to do.
Thank you. Thank you. The scene ends, and then Jax and leaves. He's like, I love you. I love you. I love you. Whatever you do, I love you.
Yeah, he's which like, is very, oh, it was very, like, I don't know, like, just a very, it was, like, aggressive for no reason.
I was like, just leave. Just go fuck something. You know, like, at a hole. Find a hole to fuck. Jax doesn't, but he does go over to the girls' table, Lala, Katie, Ariana, Allie, and Sheena. Obviously, Katie and Jax, butt heads.
They are butts heads.
Butts heads. Sorry, I've got the pegging.
Yeah.
I've got Brock's pegging in my head. Jax says to Ariana, are you aware that Schwartz may be moving into your home? Even Jax thinks this is a bad idea. So, and then in a flashback, we see Schwartz tell Jax that he is moving in, and Jax says, so you want to get married? That's pretty much the only thing you have left to do. True,
yeah.
This flashback ends, though, with Jax promising Schwartz he will not tell anyone about this information.
Schwartz should know better, though.
Yeah, of course.
Don't even say, but don't tell anybody.
No, I love it. I mean, I just love it. I love the blatant, let's lie to each other's faces right now, and we both know that we're liars. You know? And I'm going to go run into Ariana and tell her this shit. You know, Brock says James and Allie are having a pool party. Why is this news? Why is this his news? I don't know. After the brunch, and everyone decides to go. This felt like everyone was like ready to like get fucking lit up. I don't know. They don't though. Don't worry. At James's, Jax has some kind of upper. He's ready. He's ready to go. He wants to go outside. He wants to go inside. He wants to be all around. The girls are not that way. They are sitting on a couch in more of a Katie energetic sphere, talking about Allie's best friend's wedding situation,
which is in Ohio.
Yeah, in Ohio. James comes in, and Katie and James talk about Allie's situation, which is interesting because it's like, is Katie brokering this? It's like, why is Allie not? I don't, it was just very strange. Like, Katie was speaking on behalf of Allie to James.
Yeah, as like a benefactor. I don't know, like a proxy.
It's very strange. And James, very, very funny. Classic James, where he's like, it's a fur baby. If anyone takes this term actually seriously, you'd understand. It's like very,
I mean, there's
like,
part of me that really gets what he's saying, though.
No.
I think if I had to, whatever. Yes, there's a problem to be solved. But I guess if you leave, like, if the dog had a lot of problems and you leave for 4 days and something happens with the dog, bite somebody, then you're like, now I'm back to whatever. So I kind of get that. Also, maybe, and hear me out, he doesn't want to go to the wedding.
Oh, for sure. I mean, yeah. But also, like, you can leave your dog somewhere. Like, your mom, like, I don't, there's just, like, other...
Here,
right here. Yeah, I'll take him.
You would, though.
I would.
You'd say yes to everything.
The dog would bite my leg off.
Yeah.
I'd be like, sure, come back.
Yeah.
I'll take him over Christmas time. But you're right. I mean, the dog has behavioral problems, but the dog's been good.
Yeah.
And also, I'd be pissed if I were... I mean, like...
I do see why she's pissed, and I also want... I see why he's... But I feel like there is a solution that they're just not willing to do.
Yeah.
No, or maybe he just wants to be heard, that it's like, it's just because it's a dog, like, it should be like, who cares? Mm-hmm. I get that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I just think, as someone who has many friends' weddings that I am in this year, and it's like such a fucking thing to just be like, oh, now you're not coming to this thing? I have to do this alone? Thanks. You know, like, maybe that's not how she's feeling.
And also, maybe it's a thing where it's like, wait, so now we're never going to be able to do – and when she anything, makes this point, yeah, like, we're never going to be able to do it. It's a thing where it's like the principle of it. It's like, well, then what can we do? Which I definitely do get, because you're like, you don't want to be with somebody who's like, oh, we can never be go anywhere for more than 24 hours.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean
– I get that.
It's – you got to find someone that you can leave your dog with. What about Craig? Craig, I don't know. Outside, Jax keeps saying, I'm a father, I'm a dad, so much so that Sheena creates a drinking game around it. It's like,
which
perfect.
Is rich, kind of rich coming from her, but she makes a good point. Where she's even like, whoa, this is even more than I
more than she's acceptable, you know, accepting. Schwartz says that Jax isn't happy with Katie because she's promoting stories about Jax cheating. Of course, they confront each other. Jax is very pissed in this confrontation. Jax is very pissed in this confrontation. Katie is not at all pissed. She's like, oh.
I mean,
Jax is on drugs. Jax is like cokey in this. She's like, I don't know, dude. And he's like,
Well, it's not. It's not Zoloft, because that makes you tired.
Yeah, that's true.
He's definitely not on Zoloft.
Not on Zoloft. Check. Katie has a talking head around this time, and she says, quote, Jax has always been completely unhinged. This is why I don't fuck with him. And then she says, I feel bad about Brittany, but like, your husband is a disgusting pig.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, it's
true. The thing is, Katie and Ariana, which I did not expect, probably have the most even keeled. And we're at episode 13.
Mm-hmm.
They've been pretty chill, all things considered. And they have room to not be chill.
Yeah, absolutely. And they are on a TV show. And it feels like they're playing it's not a game. They're being normal people with boundaries and like, having reasonable reactions, and everyone else is playing the reality TV game.
Yeah.
You know?
That's a great way to put it.
And it's weird, though, because it's like, I want them to play the game, but I also empathize with them for not playing the game. It's hard. It's conflicting. But I'll get through it. Don't worry. Schwartz says that Jax... Schwartz pulls Ariana to tell her about the roommate thing. But of course, Jax is she's like, Jax already told me about the fucking, and he's like, oh, it's like, come on. But then Schwartz says, he can't do it anyway because he can't afford it. And he goes, would you hate me if I moved in there anyway? And it's like, so this is not a storyline at all. This is a hypothetical that you want to be your storyline, and you're a coward, and I hate you. But yeah, she's like, look, she's like, someone's gonna have to pay that mortgage. So it could be you dumb fuck.
Yeah.
Or it could be this fucking piece of shit
and
chode.
She's pretty chill with him, you know, because I mean, she kind of like, you know, said that we're not gonna be, you know, but she's, I mean, you know, life is happening.
Exactly. Exactly. Sheena is getting antsy because she wants to put Summer Moon to bed. It's also like, I didn't realize, I thought it was like midnight. It's like 8 p.m.
Yeah, I don't know what time it is. Yeah, it's like, what's going on?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So the two start arguing because Brock is like, have the sitter put her down. And she's like, I want to be there for those moments to like, you know, read her Halloween book or whatever. And it's like, reasonable, but she wants to go home. Brock wants to be in the pool
which looked fun. Yeah.
No, he wants to be drinking in the
but
pool.
But also, like, can't they go, I mean, I don't know. Like, yeah. Can't you function separately like, a little bit?
Exactly. I don't know.
He's like, what? He's like, oh, you don't have to go back.
Yeah.
Just move. She's like, no. He's like, no. He's like, she's like, listen, this is an opportunity for you to be a dad again.
And he's like, what? Crikey. <Yeah. laughs> But she gets pissed about this, but then she's all of a sudden not pissed at all because Kyle Chan is here, folks.
He shows up and I'm
just like, Kyle Chan is here.
You know the thing in the movie, like the movie The Matrix, when like weird things just show up? I feel like when Kyle Chan shows up, it's like The Matrix. It's kind of like, what's happening now? Like, is he just like
a glitch rip in the time space continuum?
Yeah.
And Kyle Chan pops out. Jesus. He's talking to her about a performance, and so she's like, you know, back into like, oh yeah, I can't wait to perform at your whiskey tasting in on the Alameda.
Two songs. It's kind of almost like a retrospective.
Yeah, it is. It's your greatest hits, which are none. Yeah. Sandoval also gets offended because he's around this conversation about her song. Nobody cares. And then he's like, well, it's not about you. And she's like, it fucked me up. Do I capitalize on it? Hell yeah. And I was like, hell yeah, you do. Great. And Sandoval is like, you're not involved in this. But Sheena is involved in this. Less than she gives her own self credit for, but she's still kind of involved in this. And she's paranoid. And she makes a good point that it like amps up her paranoia around her relationships, etc. Yeah. Sheena says, again, she talks about the fucked up things between Brock and Lala. We get cutaways to both Brock and Lala, who are not even near each other.
Yeah, I don't really. I mean, it seems like a forced thing. I was like, I don't really see it at all. And doesn't make it doesn't make any sense.
I mean, I hope it plants a seed.
Yeah. You're not helping.
Yeah. But then Sandoval calls her the other woman, and she fucking loses it, and they fight, and Sheena's like, I'm fucking leaving. Brock follows. Sandoval is so stupid and a narcissist. And that's where we leave it. Sheena storms out because she's called the other woman because Sandoval doesn't want to talk about the past. He just wants to talk about the past.
Yeah.
So here we are talking about the past, not the future, on the Alameda.
There was one part when they were all sitting down and when Lala's like, oh, I got to call my, like, you know, jokingly, I got to call my husband to see if I can go to this next thing we're going to do. And she calls, and then Brock's standing behind her, and he's answers the phone. He's like, hey, Lala, you called me. Do you remember that part?
Yeah, I do remember that part.
That was weird.
I like that. I want them to be fucking.
I mean, listen, anything, you don't expect everything to happen. That would be really weird.
It'd be amazing.
It'd be really, but it is weird that he was like, hey, Lala, why are you calling me? Which is kind of funny, but it's
hi, Lala.
Yeah.
Calling me, are you my first wife? Sorry, this is very bad.
Yeah.
I mean, again, Lala is working this season to maintain some kind of relevance and storyline. So
where are we going next? Like, where are we going next?
We're going to San Francisco, baby.
Okay. is a Kyle Chan based event. Is this next.
A Kyle Chan joint? This one's
new year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.